Amen. We are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 16 again today. We want to launch into this new year with a definite theme for the body of Christ growth of the body of Christ. We are facing there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of things happening in different parts of the body of Christ, the church today. There's some really ugly stuff being revealed that people have got into, and we want to stand against the encroachment of sin and ungodliness that is trying to come into the world, but at the same time, we want to launch forward and build the kingdom of God, build the body of Christ, and continue. We don't sit down and give up and cry just because somebody messes up. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. One person's weakness doesn't make us all weak. Amen. We stand up. You know, I hear this a lot. People say, well, just who can you trust? I just can't trust anybody. When you make statements like that, you're saying that I'm the only trustworthy person in the world and everybody else is below me. Don't ever say that statement. You constantly sow trust. You don't drag the betrayal of the last person into the next person. Amen. I've been betrayed, rejected. Over the last 45 years, I can't tell you how many times people have betrayed me, done me wrong, lied to me, you know, done all kinds of evil stuff against me. But I do not drag that into the next relationship. I put trust, I sow trust in the next person. Amen. One of the reasons is because I'm just not worried about whether somebody's going to hurt me or not. I'm going to say that again. I'm not worried about whether somebody's going to hurt me or not. Praise God. We live this protected life in this country that is almost like we're guaranteed in America that we're not supposed to be offended. We're not supposed to be upset. Nobody is supposed to do us wrong. Everybody's supposed to like us. Everybody's supposed to do us right. And if you got that mentality, I don't know who told you that. Because you're going to be done wrong by people. People are going to let you down. You know why they let you down? Because you have decided that they're not supposed to. Praise God, but we're going to be talking today about growing up in Christ. And when you grow up in Christ, you stop worrying about whether somebody's going to let you down, and you keep lifting people up. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. We just close it down and go leave right now. But we're not going to, because I'm a long-winded preacher, so we're going to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. I always tell everybody I promise at this point that I have never preached more than 4 hours. Well, that always just, it's just. But I have preached 4 hours before. But it won't be today. I'm just jerking you around, just trying to, you know, making sure you're awake here. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Now let's go back over that again. I talked a little bit about this last week. But Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's one thing that you can get out of that. Well, there's a multitude of things that you can get out of that. But one thing I want, one theme there was that the body is supposed to be growing, building, and edifying. Amen. Growing, building, and edifying. Lifting each other up, building each other up, strengthening each other. Amen. We have to encourage, and we have to keep each other, you know, from getting off into craziness. There's a lot of craziness in the body of Christ. Amen. A lot of craziness. People think I'm crazy. Amen. I've been called every name you can imagine. The latest one is hyper-charismatic, just simply because I believe in the manifestation of the Word of God. I've been called all kinds of stuff. Radical Pentecostal, you know, just there's all kinds of things that you can call people when you feel like they believe in the, what would you call it? I just believe in the manifestation of the Word of God, and that God is real today as he was yesterday. I believe that the Word of God is alive today. I don't believe this is a Logos book that doesn't have any Rhema in it. I believe it is Logos, that when you read it, turns into Rhema inside of you, and the Word of God becomes fire and builds you up and causes you to increase and brings knowledge and understanding. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is as real today as it was on the day of Pentecost. I believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken this mortal body. Amen. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the manifestation of God. I believe in the present day, right now, reality of the power of Jesus Christ. I believe his blood still washes us from our sins. I believe he still redeems us. He is the only way of redemption. And I believe today that God is as alive and as involved in our lives as he ever was. And today we serve a living, manifested Creator, Son of God, Redeemer. Hallelujah. If that's radical, I am radical. Yes. Amen. I don't believe that the Word of God has passed away. I don't believe the gifts and callings of Jesus Christ have passed away. Amen. I believe there's real today as they ever was. I watch them, I work in them, I see them. I know that God is real. Hallelujah. Somewhere between 3:30 and 5 o'clock this morning, I was sitting in my house praying, and so weak I couldn't even hardly sit up, thinking, God, how it's Sunday morning, how's this going to happen? I couldn't whisper, I couldn't do anything, and all of a sudden I felt the glory of God from my top of my head to the soles of my feet, like waves of glory begin to wash over me. Strength filled my body, and my voice began to come back. I believe in a right now Savior that is real, and he is purposely moving in our lives. Amen. Jesus has not apologized for giving gifts to the body of Christ. Amen. He did not give us a short-term activation. Amen. Hallelujah. He has not called in his gifts. He has not said, well, that's all you get. You got to make it on your own from here on out. No. He's still real today. Amen. Let's get into the Word of God today. It's for the edifying. Jesus gave gifts not so that they could be the preeminent rulers, potentate of the church, so that they could be the servants and the equippers of the body of Christ. He gave this to us for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up. Till we all come, now look what it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe before the first year, Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and this has been our theme for several weeks now. Holy Spirit began to speak to me that it's time for the body of Christ to begin to put everything they have into coming into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Enough with the pettiness, enough with the play, enough with the games, enough with the arrogance and the insecurity in the body of Christ. It's time to come into the full stature of the measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that means the characteristics of Jesus become evident in the body of Christ. We have to look at ourselves and we have to die to ourselves. Amen. I'm not here to give you 10 steps to your best life today. I'm here to tell you, you need to die and let him give you his life. It is Jesus that lives in you. It is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Amen. I don't want to improve who you are. I want Christ in you to show you who you are. I want you to find the glory and presence and power of God that will transform you into a new creation, a brand new man. Amen. Improving this old house is not what Jesus came to do. He came to transform this new house into a new creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was talking to Brother Rob the other day, Pastor Rob, and I said sibling rivalry is still one of the main problems in the body of Christ. The kids still can't quit fighting. Boy, it's quiet in here. Amen. When you got children, that's sibling rivalry. You know, my grandkids, I've got two granddaughters that are just, they're the wildest. I don't know where they got it. They always at each other. And they just can't stand it. If they're close to each other, they can't stand it. They have to pick at each other. And they have to, it's almost like they're just waiting for the chance. Who makes the first move? And once somebody makes the first move, it's on. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Amen. It is MMA. Amen. You get in the middle of them, you have to be tough to separate them. They don't stop. Sibling rivalry. One of these days, hopefully, they'll be good friends. But I got to tell you something. Don't ever pick on one of them. Amen. Don't ever pick on one of them because the whole family will come after you. Amen. That's the way it is. But in the body of Christ, you know, that happens sometimes when we're young. But as we grow up, then we have to learn how to respect and appreciate each other. We have to learn how to not pick at each other all the time. Amen. When we grow up in Christ, when we come into the fullness of stature of Christ, it means that we develop into the characteristics of Christ. We don't stay in the characteristics of Peter, James, and John fighting over who's greatest in the kingdom of God. Amen. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus constantly, he'd be leading them, and can you imagine Jesus? Because he knows behind him, the disciples are fighting with each other about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. And finally, James and John got Mama involved and brought Mama to Jesus, and Mama came and said, I want my son sitting on the right hand, on the left hand when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. See what I'm talking about? Jesus was trying to get them to come into the characteristics that he was trying to model before them. And he had to constantly keep turning around and saying, okay, what are you arguing about now? Amen. Jesus, literally, the Son of God, the all-knowing, he was the creation. He was, you know, in him was all things created. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was the Word made manifest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And yet there was times he turned around and looked at the disciples and said, how much longer do I have to be with you? I mean, you know, Jesus would go out and pray early in the morning before the disciples woke up. And I believe he was out there saying, God, deliver me. In John chapter 17, he said, I can't wait to get back to the glory that I used to know. Get me away from these fighting kids. Amen. Praise God. Those of you who can't laugh at that are probably guilty, so. But we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, we've not been able to accomplish that. There are so many different ideas and so many different beliefs. If you want to know how unconsolidated the body of Christ is, go to the yellow pages, and if you still have a phone book. We don't have phone books anymore. But if you still got one of them big phone books, or you know, go online, whatever. But look up churches in your town and just start reading the names of the churches. We all have different names. We all have some of them try to somehow establish themselves through their name. They are the reorganized, redone Holy Scepter of the Glorious One. You know, I mean, it's just the names, we keep trying to identify ourselves. We keep trying to get significant. We got to be significant. The battle for significance has drove us crazy, literally. And you don't know that. The best way to find that out is to try to get a bunch of pastors together and have a prayer meeting We expect our congregations to grow up and be like Jesus, and you get them together, and it's like getting a bunch of kids on a playground that you know, they start arguing and fighting about who's right. Amen. You know, they want to throw doctrinal punches at each other. Take that. Amen. Everybody starts throwing punches. Well, I believe, well, I believe, well, I believe, well, I believe, well, I believe. But once you get them into a greater purpose than themselves, all of a sudden unity comes. They start praying together. And they start working together. Amen. See, it's hard for us to agree on things. I mean, the main thing when we come into unity of faith is coming in unity of the faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's his blood that redeems us. We get into a lot of other things. I mean, people argue all the time about sanctification, whether it's a second definite work or a progressive act in our, you know, we grow into it this is a big one. We've argued for years, once saved, always saved, or you think a bad thought, you're going to hell. I mean, we have both extremes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, is it for today, or do we operate in it today? Do you have to talk in tongues to be saved? Do you, you know, and we battle all this stuff, and we try to reason it out. We try to come to it, and so we have arguments all the time. We spend so much time prognosticating our amalgamation of this soul and spirit conundrum that we try to come up with, that we're not able to relate to one another because we can't get past that which we feel like doesn't fit each other. And then we use this verse in the Bible all the time out of context. Well, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, you're never going to agree on everything. Amen. Praise God. I'm not worried about whether somebody believes in sanctification as a second definite work or a progressive work. I just want to know if they're living for Jesus. I mean, I was an evangelist for quite a while, and I preached in a lot of different churches. And I preached in churches where they believed that sanctification was a second definite work. And that means that God pulls you and into, you know, and you come under conviction and you pray until you're sanctified. And once you're sanctified, you're sanctified. And that's some of the meanest bunch of people I've ever been around in my life. Somehow they didn't get the characteristics of sanctification, but they were sanctified. Amen. For with them, I believe that it was a progressive work and they was still in kindergarten. Amen. I was in one of these services one night, and all of a sudden this lady started speaking in tongues. I was sitting on the front row. You know, I was raised in this thing. I mean, I started out with A. E. Allen and R.W. Shambach, you know, in their services. And I've been in Pentecostal churches all my life, and I'm sitting on the front row like this, and all of a sudden this lady starts speaking in tongues, and I went like this. I mean, immediately the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was ready to fight. And I hurriedly sat back down. I thought, good night, what was that? I was ready to cast demons out of people. I mean, you know, and somebody's speaking in tongues. And then she gave an interpretation. It upset me. I didn't know what to do about it. And so after service, I went to the pastor and I said, hey, man, something happened. And I mean, I was shook the rest of the night because once I get in fight mode, it's hard to get me out of fight mode. I mean, you know, I'm zeroed in. I'm ready to do war. And I went to him. I said, something happened tonight. I said, when that lady started speaking tongues, gave an interpretation, I said, man, I jumped up. He said, yeah, I saw you. I said, that something was wrong. Something was wrong. He said, Pastor, she has 3 lawsuits against this church right now because she says that our driveway is a foot over on her property line. See, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you say you believe. Your actions betrays what you believe, then you don't believe it. Amen. I'm talking about growing up in Christ, where you get over our immature things. We quit debating things that don't matter. Now, there's a lot of things like that that we can deal with. I don't get into theological punches. You know, I don't like fight shadow boxing, and so I don't get into a lot of that stuff. A lot of people say stuff that I don't quite agree with. I don't bite on it. I just say, huh. And I go on. You know why? Because if my life proves out and shows them differently, then I've won them. But if I argue with them, it doesn't mean that I'm going to give them anything. I've seen Pentecostal and charismatic people argue with Baptists and Methodists and all others about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I have seen no more power in the lives of the person doing the arguing than the person they're arguing with. If we're gonna say that the Holy Spirit is in us, there should be evidence. Amen. And one of the evidences should be that we are grown up and mature. Well, I'm picking at us today, Anna. Praise God. But when there's sin, then we don't tolerate that. Okay? We have a lot of differences, doctrinal differences, that we can talk about, that we can work through. But if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but if there's sin comes in, if there's people that come in preaching Christ and yet promoting sin, we don't tolerate that. We stand against that. Amen. We have to. It's not fun. It's not. Amen. We've dealt with people. We've dealt with groups here in this area that have come in that were supposed to be prophets, and yet their doctrine was that they can sin all they want to because it's not sin to them anymore. It's called liberty or something like that, the doctrine of liberty. And so they come in doing all their prophesying, and yet they were swapping wives, they were having drunken parties, they were doing all kinds of things behind the scenes. Well, that's a little different. You can't come into unity with something like that. Amen. And so you have to stand against it. You have to tell them, well, you guys maybe be a little nicer than I was. Amen. Lord, we don't need to get into that. Praise God. We, when we're maturing in Christ, when we're following after him, we have to understand that is not just being gifted. That is not just being anointed. That is being mature. That is adopting the characteristics of who Jesus is. Over in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. I like the way that's stated. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Hallelujah. This is not just a religion you join. This is not some kind of affirmation to a higher power. This is not just an agreement to be a group. This is a redemption that changes you, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost comes to abide in you, to live in you, to be who they are in you. Amen. It's not who you are in Christ. You got to flip that around. It's who Christ is in you. Amen. It's not what can I bring to Christ. Who am I in Christ? I've been trying to turn that around for quite a while now. It's not who am I in Christ, because that makes you the primary and him the secondary. Praise God. It's who Christ is, the primary, in you, the secondary. And when you find out who Christ is in you, then it's not you trying to become somebody. It's him manifesting who he is through your life. Amen. It's a dramatic change. Praise God. He will change your characteristics. He will change your family characteristics. Amen. You say, well, that's just the family I'm from. Well, Jesus can rewrite that. Jesus can change that. Say, well, my family was hot-headed and I'm hot-headed. Well, repent and let Jesus get a hold of you. And he will take the hot-headed out of you. Amen. Glory. Praise God. This is good stuff. Because it challenges us to stop looking at ourselves and stop looking at others and start looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want you to be everything in me. I want you to be above all, through all, and in us all. Hallelujah. What a unity. I'm telling you, I've traveled, me and Sister Betty have traveled to different parts of this world for several years, and I can always tell when I'm among the children of God. There's characteristics. There's a presence. There's a feeling. Amen. We know that feeling. There's a brotherhood. There's a bonding together of the body of Christ. You can sense it. You know when you're around somebody that's a child of God. Amen. You just kind of sense that. Praise God. No matter what's going on. I was working on a New Year's Eve one night out on a dock, and I needed to build this patio. You know, they can't just have a dock slip now. They have to have patios in their dock slip, you know, and stuff. And I don't do that much anymore, but I used to build patios. I was an electrician, but I built patios, you know, and everything else they wanted. And so I was out there building this patio inside this boat slip, and it was a V-shaped patio that fit his boat where he could get the stuff on the front of the boat, big house. It was a houseboat. And I was needing to go. I was going to be going to India. It was in January, this time of the year. Cold, and it was New Year's Eve, and I needed to get to, I was needing to get things caught up, get to India. So on New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock at night, I run out there, and I'm out there building this patio on this dock, and after dark on a New Year's Eve, and I'm trying to hurry, and I'm a little irritated because I'm having to try to get caught up, and I'm, you know, I'm focused on my work because I need to knock this thing out and get out of there. And the guy in the boat sitting there, he was sitting in there drinking one beer after another, and every little bit he would come outside where I'm at and want to talk, and I'm trying to work. And so he would start talking. I'd try to answer his questions, you know, and then he would go back in, and pretty soon he would come back out. He would go back in. And finally, he came out, and he said, why are you down here working on New Year's Eve? And it was about 9 o'clock by that time. Why are you out here working on New Year's Eve? I said, well, I've got to get to India, and I need to get this done. He said, why are you going to India? I said, well, we go over there every year and do a pastor's conference. He said, I knew it. I knew it. I said, you knew what? He said, I've been sitting in there in my boat drinking beer. And he said, I can feel the presence of God. And I just keep getting drawn. And I just kept, I'm sorry I've been interrupting you, but I just kept having to come out. And I'm thinking, how could you feel the presence of God? I'm just irritable right now. Tears started streaming down his face. He said, I knew. I could feel the Holy Spirit. I could feel the presence of God. And I'm looking at him. I mean, he's just been chugging one beer after another. I'm thinking, really? And I said, how do you know the presence of God? He said, I'm Lester Summerall's godson. I said, no. He said, man, I've known the glory and presence of God. I know the anointing of God. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? We know there is a common spirit. There is a presence. There is a camaraderie among the body of Christ. You can feel it. You can sense it. Why? Because it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're not by yourself. You're not just a person trying to be a Christian. You are a human being that's been transformed, redeemed, and filled with the presence and fullness of God. And you can't hide that. Everywhere you go, you are a representative of the presence of Almighty God. And I asked him, I said, man, what in the world happened? I said, you're sitting in here by yourself on New Year's Eve, getting drunk by yourself. What in the world happened? He said, well, I was a young preacher, traveled. He said, I went and I was like a representative of Lester Summerall's ministry. And he said, I traveled and held revivals and promoted the things that Lester Summerall was doing, the ministries that he had. And he said, I come home one week and found out that my wife decided she liked somebody else better and she was gone. And he said, back then, if something like that happened, you were no longer worthy. And he said, so I left. And I said, all these years, you've been backslid away from God because of disappointment. And I said, but yet you can still feel the presence of God. And I said, man, I got to pray with you. We got to pray. So all of a sudden, getting that deck finished didn't matter to me anymore. Nothing mattered to me because somebody was pulled and drawn. Somebody sensed the presence of God. Are you listening to me? You are a representative of God. You walk in the presence and power of God. At least we should. Because we are a new creation, a brand new man. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. We've got a lot of the church has left and walked away from that. And they're preaching a form of godliness, but they're living in sin. They're living in all kinds of ungodliness. And they're all about greed, and they're all about arrogance, and they're all about self-promotion. And we're living in a time where the presence of God has to come back. There has to be a church rise up again to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ in a human being, the life-changing power of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been praying since a lot of things have been coming to light. I've been praying that the body of Christ not get discouraged, disappointed, upset, let down, all that kind of stuff. I've been praying that it just lights a fire inside of us and said, it's time to come back to the cross. It's time to come back to Jesus. It's time to come back to living a full, mature, grown-up life in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not used to being so muffled. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. You know, Paul wrote a lot of the same things, just in a little different wording to the Colossians and to the Ephesians. And here, I like the way this is stated, that the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Over and over you hear this repeated statement of the knowledge of God, the full knowledge, the full understanding to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and 18, it says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's constantly bringing us back to come into a place where we have the knowledge of who Jesus is, what he is, what his characteristics are. Hallelujah. I ask Holy Spirit to help me not to run around and just preach today. I want to get this across. I want you to grab hold of this, because this is the mandate of the church, of the body of Christ in this day. It's to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in the fullness of who he is, and begin to manifest Jesus to this world. Doesn't matter how anointed we are. Doesn't matter how sensational we are. It doesn't matter if we preach and make to a point that we're dancing on the backs of the pews. If there's not maturity in Christ, it didn't do a thing. We got a lot of sensationalism today, but we don't have a lot of growing up taking place today. Amen. A preacher can preach a message that just seems so dynamic and just stir you up. But if it doesn't stir you up to follow after Christ and to go after Jesus, it wasn't a message from God. If it stirs you up for material things, if it stirs you up for arrogance and self-seeking, preacher, I saw a video where this preacher preached on New Year's Eve a message that was just so awful. Did not glorify Christ. It glorified some form. And he said, you can't say anything bad about my message because 150 people got saved that night. How many got saved in your church? But then you go back and review the altar call, and the altar call was this: if you need to join our community and come forward. It wasn't come and receive Jesus. But if you need to join our community, if you want to be a part of this church and join our community, I got to tell you something, it's time to get back to the point where people come and find a Jesus that can change them, a Jesus that can transform them. When they come and repent before God, it's not joining a church or joining a personality or joining a group. It's joining Jesus. It's coming into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's been transformed by the renewing of the gospel of God. I've been praying and I've been talking a lot about this lately. For the last couple of years, I've been saying, I'm so hungry to start seeing people have transformative encounters with God. I want to see people that are outright living 100% for the devil have an encounter with God. Next thing you know, they are transformed and sold out to Jesus. Amen. They used to sing songs about it. You know, and there's this old song. I wish I could remember how it goes. But they sang about the night some guy got saved and the devil lost a good right hand and God gained a soul. Or I forget what it was. Anyway, it's about how a person was transformed. Amen. I'm not the same as I used to be. Those type of testimonies where you see the absolute change in somebody's life. Amen. You see an absolute change. I grew up in church. I knew church. I knew God. I knew the presence of God. But as a teenager, I got disappointed from seeing all the squabbling that went on and the immaturity in the church, and I got disappointed. And I didn't want it anymore. I felt like my friends at school were a whole lot better than those people at church were. Amen. Just my opinion, as a young man, I didn't want it anymore. So I decided to just embrace, you know, what they embrace. And for a short time I did. I found it to be the most empty, disappointing thing I've ever got into in my life. Amen. One reason is because I have a praying mama. Oh, my word. Nothing worse than going to a party and conviction of God coming on you right in the middle of that party. Having an encounter with Jesus right in the middle of a party. I mean, nothing can kill your joy like that. But I remember one night when God introduced himself to me in a very personal way. Matter of fact, I was sitting right back there. Amen. About where Sister Susan's sitting. I snuck in here. My parents kept saying, "You need to come to this revival. You need to come to this revival." I didn't want to come to a revival. Finally, one night I came because one of my friends had started coming. And he'd invited me, so I came. I was sitting right back there. I didn't want anything to do with it. Didn't want to be here. But there's a big difference between acknowledging Jesus and him becoming a personal Savior to you. And that night, after quite a war, quite a battle, I ran. I didn't walk. I ran up the side of this church and knelt at an altar up here. And I said, "God, I don't want you just to forgive me. I want you to take me. I want you to own me. I give you my life tonight." And I want you to know something. That night, I was transformed. I didn't just repent. I was transformed. Hallelujah. And when I got back to school, everybody knew I'd been transformed. That was 2 weeks before my senior year in high school started. That's supposed to be the epitome of my years in school, you know. And I had a bit of a reputation. I didn't realize it then, but I had a bit of a reputation in school. Matter of fact, after I started preaching, a guy that I went to school with, who is a pastor now, came to a meeting where we were preaching out on 76 Highway, and he got there that night, and he saw I got up and preached, and this was his words. It's Joanna's daddy, the worship leader down at New Life Temple. This was his words: "If God can save Tim Snyder, he can save me." And he came to the altar that night and got right with God, and we've worked together in ministry for years now. Matter of fact, I'm the reason he's in Tennessee. But, and he's blamed me for that ever since. But when God changes you, when you have an encounter with Jesus, it's not just I'm trying to serve the Lord. Well, I'm trying to be a Christian. No, try means there's options. You stop trying when you come to Jesus. You sell out. "I'm yours, Lord. You own me. I'm your servant." I went back to school. When school started, the first day of school, I did my best to try to just get a, you know, just, we had to stand outside. At our school, they didn't let you in before the bell rung because, you know, they had to corral everybody. It was a little different than what most schools are. And when the bell rung, then they'd let you in into school. Before that, everybody had to stand outside. And it was pretty wild out there. And I just tried to blend in. And some of my friends from the year before come up to me and said, "Snyder, come on, we're going to skip out the first day of school. We're going to go out to the lake and party. Let's go." I said, "I can't go with you guys." They said, it's the first day. You got plenty of time to make up for it. I said, I'm not going. And they said, we need to go now. And I said, no, you don't. And I said, and I'm not going with you. And next thing I know, there's a circle of kids around me listening. And they said, Snyder, what is wrong with you? I said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm born again, and God changed me. And I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Amen. First day of school, preached my first message. Why? Because it's either take a stand because you've sold out or compromise and try to blend in and be a failure. Amen. Yes, I meant exactly what I just said. Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We need to put it to use. Amen. Praise God. It's not just enough to say, okay, Jesus, you know, I've acknowledged you. I come to church once in a while. I pay my tithes. That's not what it's about. All that stuff is just the outflow of it. But what is going on in you personally? What has Jesus done in your life personally? Have you been changed? Stand with me today if you would. Have you been changed? I want everybody. You should be shouting right now for two reasons. One reason because Jesus changed your life. The other reason because for the first time in a long time, it's 11:35 and I am ending. A miracle has transformed today. We are experiencing a miraculous event. Amen. Hallelujah. It is miraculous. Glory. He said that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns. Pastor Rob was talking about this the other day, and he said, I was reading where it says speaking to each other in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts, and he said it all of a sudden, it dawned on me, this is supposed to be a musical. We're supposed to go around singing to each other. I told him, I said, there's a skit in there somewhere. Has Jesus changed your life? That's the question I want to ask. Not did you acknowledge Jesus, or did you start coming to church? Did you, you know, all that stuff is just what comes with the territory. But has Jesus changed your life? That's the question. Have you experienced the new life that's in Christ Jesus? We're heading into days that there's going to be a dual theater going on. In the church that does not submit to the authority of the word, the authority of Jesus Christ, there's going to be chaos, there's going to be failures, there's going to be all kinds of garbage going on. But to the obedient church, the church that believes, the church that obeys, the church that submits to the word and to the Holy Spirit, they are going to see growth, increase, and maturity in Christ. It's time for the church to grow up. It's time for us to begin to experience and enjoy the benefits that come with serving Jesus. No longer just hanging around the outer court, but it's time to rush into the inner court. It's time to start enjoying the things that God has given you. Amen. Don't try to hang out with the world and secretly serve Jesus. No, we serve Jesus out loud, obviously, on purpose, and we give people a safe place to run out of the dark chaos of this world into the light of Jesus Christ, into the hope of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you today, Lord God, for the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Lord, I give you praise and honor and glory for it. I ask today, Father God, that you would saturate us with your presence. Lord, that we would understand the fullness of Christ. To become full, wholly filled, bodies wholly filled with God. Father, I pray for the demonstration of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that the word be backed up in the demonstration and power of Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you've not fully committed your life to Jesus Christ, then I realize we got a small crowd, and most of you wouldn't be here if you wasn't sold out to Jesus. But I'm not going to take anything for granted. If you have not completely, absolutely given your life to Jesus Christ and stop trying to be a Christian and sell out and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be. I am a child of God. Then I want to ask you to come forward today. We're going to pray for you and believe that God's going to transform your life. Amen. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for the glory of the Lord. I thank you for the power of your Spirit. Father, I thank you for the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.